Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. I'm Father Sean Wilson. With me is Julia Monin, and greetings, Julia.
Greetings. You look like kind of like an alien right now. I feel like if you like that would be an alien.
Sure.
Greetings.
I've got some of the darts in my ears if you're listening, because got to remember to throw two darts because we've got to record a double podcast here soon.
Well, to be more exact, we've got to get two open squares.
Right, we might you have to might throw be, 21 darts.
You might be throwing 30 to 40 darts by the end of this, but the way that's been going.
I guess we'll see.
I didn't mean to we'll pick see. On you or anything.
No, that's all right. That's all right. You speak the truth.
Hey, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Last time we recorded, it wasn't Easter yet, was it?
It was Holy Week.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We did a double Holy Week episode.
That's right.
Yep.
Wow. And now it's Easter.
It is.
It's awesome.
I do love Easter.
And Holy Week was amazing.
I love the Easter Vigil. Mm-hmm. I love the Octave of Easter.
Mm-hmm.
I love the journey to Pentecost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. I love it's First Communion season. Mm. It's ordination season. Oh, there's so much good stuff.
It is a beautiful, beautiful time of the year.
I had a wedding.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Wedding season.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lord just pours his gifts upon us.
Ugh, amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Divine Mercy Sunday last weekend.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Second Sunday of Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just such a beautiful time. This is such a beautiful time. And I was able to like enter into the mystery of all of this just a little bit more than I ordinarily would have been able to. And it's just been just extra beautiful.
It's great.
Extra beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Favorite story from Acts of the Apostles. What is it?
My favorite story? Yeah.
Just pick one. I know that's hard.
Okay. You know the first one that comes to mind?
What?
It's the pigs in a blanket.
Pigs in a blanket?
Yeah. Do you know that one?
No.
Okay. So Peter is asleep and he has this vision of pork on a sheet of some sort. And he says, you know, eat it. He says, Lord, I can't eat unclean foods. And he says, what I've created, the Lord declares all foods clean.
Right.
Pork on a sheet, pigs in a blanket.
Yep.
Thus, we can eat pork because of it.
Yep. I'm pretty sure like that's in some translations, that's the title of that section, Pigs in a blanket. Just kidding. It's not.
You sure?
That is a joke.
Have I written my own Bible?
That is not true.
That would be funny.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Pigs in a blanket. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Good. Good. Well, we got some good news over these last 2 weeks that we've been off recording. And that is that Mama Wilson finally texted her response about these songs, right? So like this was like two or three episodes ago, maybe even more, I don't know. But you were trying to throw me off. I was opening my Bible. Mm-hmm. I said, wait. And you, of course, took that as begin right now.
Yep.
And so we began as I was
I knew what you meant.
shuffling through my Bible to try to find where I was at. And then you started singing this new Books of the New Testament song about like the order of they fall and here to help me find my place in the Bible.
Right.
And you said this was a song that Mama Wilson had taught you.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a whole conversation about that, but you couldn't finish the song.
Right.
And that was so disappointing. And I had you try a couple times and you still couldn't finish it. Long story short, Mama Wilson heard the episode.
Right.
She was crying laughing.
Yep. She made mascara that running is what she said.
So I take that as she's crying, laughing, right? And she sends us the lyrics. So I asked you before, sing it for us. I said, certainly, if you see the lyrics, it will jog your memory of the song, right?
I just the same place, right? So we shall live call Mama Wilson. She doesn't know I'm calling, and this could end poorly.
This could end very poorly. But in the chances that it doesn't, this would be amazing.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Mom. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, I need a favor. Could you help me out with something?
I can try.
We are live recording the podcast right now.
Hi, Mama Wilson.
Hi, Julia.
Is there any chance that you could sing the Books of the New Testament song for everybody? Because I can't remember. I have the lyrics in front of me, and I can't remember.
Sean, I have a terrible voice.
So do I, but I subject people to it all the time.
You really know how to do this.
I don't. I don't remember, Mom.
You are so bad.
He really does keep getting tripped up. Yeah. He really does.
Okay, I'll sing it, but I'm not responsible for ruining your reputation.
Oh, Mom, if we had any reputation left.
How about if you turned off the radio and then I'd sing it and then you wouldn't know how it goes?
Mm. All right, go for it.
Okay, I don't trust you at all, but okay. It goes like, you should know. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, Hebrews, James, and 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, 3 John, and Jude, and Revelations. These are the books of the New Testament. Come on, children, sing them with me now. And it ends up like lamb chops. It just keeps going on and on.
Oh, you just keep doing it again?
Yeah.
Like the song that never ends. Yeah, I got that reference.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so amazing. Oh, my gosh, that was so amazing. I can't believe that actually worked, that she answered. And you actually did it. Choo-choo.
Thanks, Mom. That's
all I was saying. That was so awesome. Oh, so good.
You guys are funny. All right. Good luck with your rest of your show. Hope I didn't ruin it.
No, Mom, you're the star.
Yeah, for sure.
You're crazy.
All right. Love you, Mom.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Julia.
That was awesome. Yes.
Wow.
That made my year.
Yeah.
That made my year.
That is, the Lord pours gifts upon us. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter. And she didn't say this because, you know, she's so humble, but she invented this song.
She invented that song.
She made this song up.
Yeah.
For her third grade CCD class.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. She taught third grade CCD for 19 years.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe 21.
You think any of her former students are listening?
No.
No.
No. If there is one, well, no. Yeah, she had my older brother. He was the first year, so it could be my older brother.
Yeah, well, and that was what she said was funny, because just recently in your older brother's life, too, he was singing this. His wife was looking for something, and so it came up in his life, too.
Well, yeah, so my sister-in-law went through RCA last year, and my brother was her sponsor, so he went to a lot of the classes with her, and at one of the classes, they came up with the books in the New Testament, and it was just in his brain, and...
So maybe on a future show, we could call him and see if he can sing it live for us.
Oh, man. I love my brother, and he would do great on live, but who knows? Who knows what'll happen? That's a little riskier, which might be fun.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Might not be as gentle as your mama.
Well, no, he would be perfectly fine. And you know, we've had him on some of the Facebook live stuff, and he just does a great job.
Yeah.
Sorry. The last conversation I had with my brother, somebody else was riding shotgun, and I was talking to my brother, and my brother was just telling me work stories, and he's a detective, and there were some rough work stories that it was like, so the last memory I have of talking to my brother is him telling, like, "Ooh, I don't want any of those work stories to come on live on the podcast."
So, we'd have to put disclaimers up.
About,
Well, that was seriously amazing. I mean, I thought so this was how that at the beginning before we started recording, I'm like, come on, she sent us the lyrics. This has to jog your memory. But in all honesty, you tried and it did not.
It didn't. Yeah.
You really didn't. So you think we could call your mom and she'd sing it for us? Because we're all dying to know how this goes. I'm going to go home and practice it.
Okay. Great.
I'm going to keep listening to it and practice it. And I'm singing the ditty in my head right now. it's so good.
Ditty is a good way to put it. Yeah, just a little ditty.
It is a little ditty.
Yeah, it's kind of.
About Jack and Diane? No.
That's not it.
It's about Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Okay, we should pray. Let's begin. Yes.
All right. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Easter glory. We ask that you may send forth your Holy Spirit upon us, upon all those who are listening to this podcast. And thank you for the gift of my own mother and her generosity and the joy that she brings. And we ask that you may be with each and every one of us and the entire church throughout the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, before we dive into it, I realized I need to make a shout out because I had a wedding over the weekend and got to talk to this delightful couple. Mm-hmm. Just positively delightful, and they actually listen to the podcast. Huh. Yeah, so they're dating, mm-hmm. Pierce and Sarah. So they might be listening to this. So I know they're rather involved with Quo Vadis. So Pierce's cousin, I had the wedding, and his girlfriend Sarah, I've met on a handful of occasions. So yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for being so just joyful.
Yeah,
yeah. So
have I met them before?
I don't know.
You don't know the people I've met before? Why not?
I don't know everybody. I was trying to think in the conversation if they said they've met you, right? Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to go through my head. Right.
That's kind of what I was asking there. Well, maybe I'll get the joy of meeting them someday.
Maybe. That'd be great. Okay. Yeah. You don't remember signing an autograph for... Julia loves signing autographs, taking pictures with people. So if you see her in public...
You see my smile right now?
Yeah. Just ask for that.
It's just so humiliating.
Yeah.
But it's good to be humbled. Yeah. It's good to be humbled. Anyway, it's good. It's all good. I heard about Mother Teresa, like, always offering it up, like, when she had to get her photo taken because she just hated it. Offering it up for, like, souls in purgatory.
Yeah. I was somewhere recently.
Yes. I was somewhere recently where they mentioned that, too. It was a confirmation photo, I think. No. Something. Somebody brought this story up. Must have been in the same place. But anyway, the story goes that she was doing that all day and they...
The Schoenstatt Covenant.
Oh, did you say it there?
Yeah, I said it there because people just taking photo after photo after photo.
Yeah.
Like, Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Every photo, somebody gets out of purgatory.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, they were like praying or something and somebody prayed for the poor souls and she just said, there are none left. I had my photo taken so many times today. I emptied purgatory.
Yeah.
Anyway, we do have a topic today, believe it or not.
We do. We do.
This is paragraphs 2095 to 2109.
Right.
2095 to 2109. Him only shall you serve.
Jinx.
Nice.
Yeah.
So where are we at here in the catechism?
So we just jumped into the Decalogue, right? The Ten Commandments. Mm. So this is under the first commandment about you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve. So we did a little bit of the introduction of this and now about faith, hope, and love. And now we're talking about what does it mean to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all our mind, with all of our strength?
Which is just a beautiful topic of conversation.
Yeah.
I found that this kind of broke up into like two kind of sections. Of course, there's more than two subheadings here, but we have like this first that talks about adoration, prayer, sacrifice, and promises and vows, and like what this all means and what this has to do with only him or him alone shall you serve. And then we have this social duty of religion and the right to religious freedom and how that ties into this reality too of worshiping God and God alone.
It's almost like the first ones are like individual, personal responsibilities to worship the Lord, and then the others like as a society, as a community, as a culture, what's our responsibilities to worship?
So first with like, just like a kind of a, I guess, like a reminder, because this opens talking about the theological virtues, which was right before this, this section. The theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity inform and give life to the moral virtues. Thus, charity leads us to render to God what we as creatures owe him in all justice. The virtue of religion disposes us to have this attitude. So just a quick refresher reminder of like what are the theological virtues? I just said faith, hope, and charity.
Faith, hope, and charity.
But then what does that actually mean?
So virtues are stable habits of the individual, right? Mm-hmm. So they're not like they're things that we grow into. They're natural or supernatural dispositions. They're things that we can work to grow in. And of course, faith, hope, and charity are infused in us, right? Mm-hmm. But we can work to grow in them more. Mm-hmm. And then it mentions justice, right? So justice is one of the four cardinal virtues. Justice is basically giving to somebody what their due is, what they're owed. And so religion, the virtue of religion falls under justice because it's about what we give God, what we give to God as to what we owe God as God. Mm. So religion, the virtue of religion is like a something that we can grow into as a steady habit that we practice of our religiosity is part of justice because it's giving the Lord what he does, what is due to him.
Sure.
What we owe him.
Sure. Sure.
And this is going to get into that means everything, right? But it's a good reminder for us that first and foremost that we worship the Lord. It's not about what we get, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just a great attitude to have when we come to Mass even. It's like, this is actually what we come to give God. You know, if you ever hear like somebody say, I don't get anything out of Mass, it's like, oh, that's not the point. Mm-hmm. It's about what we give to the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And so first and foremost, religion, faith, is not about what it does for us. It's about what we do to give to the Lord, because mm-hmm. he's given us everything, mm-hmm. right?
And I think the main theme kind of hidden underneath all of this is the absolute necessity of this rightly ordered worship, mm-hmm. right? That, I mean, first commandment, right? I, the Lord, am your God. You shall not have other gods beside me, right? Love the Lord mm-hmm. your God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, right? So this rightly ordered worship will tend toward a rightly ordered society, a rightly ordered human being, mm-hmm. right? But when that is off-kiltered, when we are worshiping things and people and ourselves, and we're not rightly ordered, haven't rightly ordered our worship to God, the one and only God, the one true God, mm-hmm. Then everything gets out of whack. Everything gets out of kilter.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's underlying all of this. So mm-hmm. these first three, adoration, prayer, and sacrifice, to kind of talk about how this ties into the first commandment a little bit. Adoration is the first act of the virtue of religion. To adore God is to acknowledge him as God, as the creator and savior, the Lord and master of everything that exists, as infinite and merciful love. To adore God is to acknowledge in respect and absolute submission the nothingness of the creature who would not exist but for God. Mm-hmm. So this recognition of God is God and I am not.
Right.
Right. And it's not thinking less necessarily of yourself, but just more of God. And
right.
again, that rightly ordered mm-hmm. worship.
So mm-hmm. there's like these two paragraphs under adoration. One mm-hmm. is like to acknowledge, so that almost like the intellectual, like acknowledging that he is the Lord, he's merciful, he's the one who saves us. And then the other one of the will, right? Mm-hmm. Of this submission, of this surrender to say, okay, and I acknowledge that he is all of these things, mm-hmm. that he is the creator of the universe, the Lord of the world, and I give myself to him as in mm-hmm. submission.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually sets us free. That's the last paragraph. The worship of the one God sets man free from turning in on himself. And that is such a spiritual truth, that if we get so obsessed with what's going on in our life, we actually become captive to it, right? We actually become slaves to whatever it is, right? If we're food is always an easy example, right? If we're always worried about what our next meal is, and you know, making sure it's whether it's nutritious, whether it's taste, you know, it's tasty, whether it's just like top of the line, we actually become enslaved to that, because that becomes our top concern.
Sure.
So actually, when we focus as God, as the Lord, it actually frees us from idolizing food or whatever else
sure.
we may idolize.
Yeah. Right. You know? Right. Right. Yeah. Right. It talks about here as looking to Mary, right? To adore God is to praise and exalt him, and to humble oneself as Mary did in the Magnificat, which I hope to maybe end today's show with. She in this Magnificat confesses with gratitude that he has done great things, and holy is his name, right? So again, this is not like thinking of yourself in terms of like self-hatred, but really in recognizing like who you really are as a child of God. And who God is, you realize your nothingness, right? That it's God who is God, and we who are far from it.
And but you realize your belovedness and all of that too, because this God who is supremely powerful, who you know created this sea and who knows how many millions of stars, became a human being, became a child for me and for you, and died.
Mm-hmm.
And that's astounding, and it shows our immense value in the Lord's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know what else is like mind-blowing, because we can all struggle with like self-hatred in different areas of our life, or shame or guilt or whatever it might be. And it's hard to like look at yourself and see yourself as a beloved son or daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get lost in that negative self-image or whatever. But to really recognize that God created you, and so there is goodness in you. And so like to look at yourself, I mean, sins and all of that, and I understand the emotions that go into that, but to look at yourself spew this self-hatred and negativity is like telling God he's not a good creator in some way, to say, well, you know, and again, like the fact of like taking that time to allow God to heal that in you, heal your self-image, heal that brokenness, or to really see yourself as God sees you, which is not as God, because we're not God.
Right.
It's as his creatures, but it's as his beloved creatures who are beauty and good. Right. Anyway, so that adoration in talking about him only shall you serve. So what does that mean? And then we get to just one little paragraph on prayer and how this ties into that. The acts of faith, hope, and charity enjoined by the first commandment are accomplished in prayer. Lifting up the mind toward God is an expression of our adoration of God, prayer of praise and thanksgiving, intercession and petition. Prayer is an indispensable condition for being able to obey God's commandments. We ought always to pray and not lose heart. An indispensable condition for being able to obey God's commandments.
Because it's how we listen to them, right? Of course, there's like catechesis, right? So if you're listening to this podcast, that'll help you listen. Mm-hmm. But the interiorly of saying, how does this affect my life? How do I surrender? How do I, you know, wrestle with what the Lord's asking of me? Because that's always part of it, right? Yep. We're not robots, right? It's not like you just input command, then do it, right? Mm-hmm. The struggle goes in there of whether it's seeing ourselves as God sees us, or even of finding things to be grateful for when we're really struggling. Prayer, indispensable.
Indispensable.
And I would say that's correct.
That is correct.
Not that anybody's asking for my opinion, if the catechism's right or not.
Based on your own experience, I bet you could say that's a correct,
based
too.
On my
not just
own
because
experience.
The catechism says it's true, which right. we should believe because it is, but also your own experience has taught you that, I'm sure. As mine has too. Okay, and then we have two paragraphs on sacrifice. Oh, and these are beautiful.
These were phenomenal little paragraphs right here.
It is right to offer sacrifice to God as a sign of adoration and gratitude, supplication and communion. Every action done so as to cling to God in communion of holiness and thus achieve blessedness is a true sacrifice. So it's right to offer sacrifice. This is good, but let's continue with this. Outward sacrifice, to be genuine, must be the expression of spiritual sacrifice. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. The only perfect sacrifice is the one that Christ offered on the cross as a total offering to the Father's love and for our salvation. By uniting ourselves with his sacrifice, we can make our lives a sacrifice to God. And I kind of skipped through some of that there, but this idea of our outward sacrifice should be coming from an interior sacrifice, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those two, like the exterior and the interior, inform each other, right? Because sometimes our interior is off and we have to actually just do the exterior things, and that'll actually form the interior. And then sometimes the exterior action flows from the interior.
Sure.
And both of those are fine. And we might find ourselves in particular times and seasons of our life. Now, sometimes you can do the exterior action and just have a hard heart and you don't let that form you. You think about like going to Mass on Sunday. If you're angry and bitter about going to Mass on Sunday, that exterior sacrifice of the hour of offering it to God won't inform our hearts. But if it's like, ah, oh, this is hard, I don't want to do it, but I got to, because I know this is what the Lord is asking of me. And giving that hour to the Lord can then kind of loosen, right? Can kind of crack that hard heart. But then sometimes offering that hour to the Lord flows from a grateful heart, flows from a heart that says, oh my gosh, the Lord has done so much for me. I have to go to Mass to praise him because I love him so much. So all of those things kind of get jumbled around together. And at different points in our life, we might find ourselves in different seasons there. But yeah, you think about the sacrifice. So the perfect sacrifice is the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, right? But we're joined to that every time we go to Mass, and even because of us being baptized, we're drawn into that. So our little sacrifices of whether that means giving time to a needy relative who, you know, we might have to go visit a mother-in-law who's who's sick, right? We offer up that sacrifice in union with Christ on the cross, and it's transformative. So, and even like time, right? Give time, money, right? All of that we can give is a little sacrifice, not doing something, right? Giving up whatever, you know, pleasures we might have, right?
Putting the video games aside for the day, you know, those things that you decide not to do.
Right, not going up for seconds.
Right.
I'm talking to myself on some of these.
Sure,
you know?
No, that's good stuff. Great example. You think Mama Wilson could offer up the sacrifice of singing on this podcast? She obviously was uncomfortable with it.
She was.
But in the goodness of her heart, she did it anyway.
Absolutely. I don't want to assume what's going on, but I know she didn't exactly want to sing
on
a podcast.
She took great, though. She took great. Okay, then we have...
I wonder if she gets used to doing stuff like that, just being my son. Or being her son. Yeah.
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 There were a couple things she said that I found particularly amusing. One is that she didn't trust you when you said, sure, Mom, I'll put that on... Spot on, because he totally was. You shouldn't have. So she knows you well. And then the other was, that she was going to ruin our reputation. That's funny. Yeah. That's real funny. Yeah. Okay, that's funny.
Well, you know, she is my mother, so she probably thinks I have this great reputation, you know, as as my mother.
Absolutely.
Because in her heart, I probably have got...
You deserve it.
The star of the show, because I'm her boy.
That's right.
But
that's right.
Little does she know.
Thanks again for doing that.
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, promises and vows. I flipped the page and saw promises and vows. Like, I don't remember seeing that in there. Right. But it makes perfect sense, right? Because that's giving your future to the Lord, right? And like solidifying it. So it talks about promises that are made to God in baptism and confirmation, matrimony and holy orders always entail promises, right? Do you accept the responsibility of raising this child in the practice of the faith? That's a promise that you're making to God. Like, that's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. Of course, at ordination, you make promises to respect and obey the bishop, to celebrate faithfully the Mass and the other sacraments, to pray the liturgy of the hours. Celibacy, a promise that we make. Mm-hmm. And even marriage, right? Do you promise, are you here freely? Do you promise that you're here freely? I do. Do you promise to love and honor each other for as long as you both shall live? Do you promise to be open to children? Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. Or are you? I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And even confirmation, right? Renew the baptismal promises of those who are candidates for confirmation. Mm-hmm. Making a promise before God's a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's part of worship. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, it's good. I was just going to tie that back in. Remember what we're talking about here. Remember the topic. Him, right. Him only shall you serve.
Right.
So in one of this, in making these promises, it's us giving ourselves fully to Him, even the future.
Right.
Him only shall you serve.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And then it distinguishes between promises and vows.
Sure.
And vows are tied to the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. So people make vows in religious communities. Mm-hmm. So interestingly, priests make promises just like married people make, or just like people bring in a child for baptism. Diocesan priests make promises at our ordination, not vows. Mm-hmm. Vows would be those for religious life of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Now, there's a bit of overlap there, but like I don't make a vow of poverty. I own the car that I drive. Mm-hmm. But religious make that vow. And that's like a total emptying of trusting the Lord will provide everything. Because for a religious person, like obedience is much bigger of a deal than it is for me. And even like I spent some time with some sisters after Easter and even just like hearing them talk about obedience, my obedience, the bishop tells me where to go. I have to follow some of the policies of the archdiocese. Mm-hmm. Not a huge deal at the end of the day, not a day-to-day thing, but like the sisters living in a convent with 25 other sisters, obedience is a daily thing of your superior asking you to do something. And it's beautiful to watch that live.
And it's a gift for all of Holy Mother Church to see that, see these members of our mystical body who have given themselves in that way, or are called to give themselves in that way. I keep thinking about the, you know, the story of the Carmelite martyrs of like Compiègne that were killed in it was the French Revolution. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And so as they're approaching the guillotine, like the mother, a prioress of the order, was the last to be beheaded. And each of the sisters approached the mother, and she was like holding like a little figurine. I think it was of the Blessed Mother and the infant Jesus. And they would each approach her and say, and ask for permission to die for Christ, right? In this vow of obedience. And she would say, yes, you have my permission. Right. And they'd kiss the statue and then go to the guillotine and give their lives, right?
Yeah.
So that going back to that obedience, like even in that last moment, them respecting that reality of, Mother, do I have permission to die for the Lord? Yeah. Ugh, wow. Anyway, that's some obedience there.
Yeah.
That's good stuff, right? That's good stuff. Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. And then we get to the social part of this, right? The communal aspect of even the relationship between society in the virtue of religion, right? Mm-hmm. The ability and the freedom to worship the Lord as a conscience deems fit.
Sure. All men are bound to seek the truth, especially in what concerns God and His church, and to embrace it and hold on to it as they come to know it. This duty derives from the very dignity of the human person. Here, this is a great sentence. It does not contradict a sincere respect for different religions, which frequently reflect a ray of that truth which enlightens all men, nor the requirement of charity, which urges Christians to treat with love, prudence, and patience those who are in error or ignorance with regard to this faith. So all men are bound to seek this truth, right? But seeking this truth does not contradict having a respect for people who maybe are living in just rays of this truth, but not the fullness of the truth, or does not say, don't be charitable to your brothers and sisters, right? That's not what this is saying either.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a whole lot of things that are like held in tension, and the church is trying, and the catechism is trying to like kind of parcel out and show how they interrelate. So one of them is about the fullness of truth subsists in the Catholic Church, right? So that the full breadth of it, right? And not just the rays, but the full light of truth, as you kind of pointed out there. But no person is compelled, right? Is forced upon their will to accept this, although we have the duty to seek it ourselves, to seek the truth, to seek the fullness of the truth. And then, so the church respects people's ability to seek the truth and not compelling them. And that is based on the dignity of each and every human person, that God gives us a free will so that it's not imposed on us from the outside.
Right.
So there's a whole lot of things like held in tension there, but all really important. It's based on the dignity. So it's like the dignity of the human person and the fullness of revelation that exists in the Catholic Church. That those two things, right, like go together. And it shows our absolute urgency to proclaim the gospel to all people.
Yeah. And to reflect too on, you know, Christ, the Christ we get to come and know in the gospels, right? And to see how he did this, how he stood in that tension, in the brink of that tension, being the fullness of truth, the fullness of reality, of right? This is what's coming. But to also like meet people where they're at, not impose.
Invite. Right, constantly. You think of the rich young man, right? And he said, here's the demands to follow me, right? You're going to have to take everything, sell it. But he doesn't grab him by the ear as he's walking away and say, no, you're going to follow me, right? And you're going to like it because this is what's good for you and I know best, right? Jesus lets him walk away. And Jesus is sad by that, right? Breaks his heart to watch somebody have his back turned to him. But he's not going to force him.
How old does your child have to be where you stop doing that by the ear? Like, how long can you do that with your young children to say, no, you're going to do this because, you know, I'm your mom or I'm in your proper authority?
Well, there was in the duties of parents, right? That was in the section that we talked about.
Oh, yeah, it was.
About.
It sure was.
The duties of parents. Like,
it
once they're adults, there's,
you're right.
The child has a duty to obey, and once they're adults, they have the duty to respect.
That's right. That's right.
And so parents have whatever the kind of the flip side of that is. So...
Okay, so the social...
I expect to see parents dragging their kids by the ear into mass.
You will be here because I say you shall be
here. You shall like it.
And you shall like it. You don't have to like it, but you shall do it anyway.
Yeah.
I like to ask my little guy, how are we going to show Jesus that we love him if we don't wear nice clothes to mass? Or if we don't go to mass, how are we going to show him we love him? He has other ideas, but anyway, it's good to ask.
Yeah. It's nice to ask. He probably does have plenty of ideas.
He has plenty of them.
Yeah. I'll draw him this picture of Spider-Man and that will show Jesus that I love him.
Right.
Which is nice, right?
Sure.
And I think there's maybe something important, an important lesson to say here, right? Like, if you wanted something for your birthday, and I knew that you wanted something for your birthday, but it's like, but I want to give you this, right? You say, well, that's nice, Father. But that's not really what I wanted, right? And Jesus says, like, we could ask, well, Jesus, how do you want me to worship you? Or I'm going to worship you in this way.
Sure.
Because I love being in nature. And so I'm going to frolic in a field, Jesus, because I'm appreciating your nature. Jesus says, that's nice. But there's one thing. I ask you to come to Mass every Sunday, right? And so to give Jesus not what we want to give him, but to actually give him what he wants us to give him.
Yes. Yeah, so, that's a great point.
Anyways, that's a Father Mike Schmitz. Insight. He talked about his mom wanted, you know, he asked his mom what she wanted for his birthday and or for Christmas or something like that. And she said, like, you know, I don't remember what it was, but it was something rather small, you know. And he said, no, I'm going to learn a new trick on my skateboard for your birthday, mom. Come out, see her. See, I learned this for you for your birthday.
Sure. Anyways, right.
Shout out to Father Mike Schmitz, the other catechism podcast.
Totally swiped it from us. No. We knew he was coming after it. No, I'm teasing. I hear it's really great.
It's still like number two in the country.
That's amazing.
In podcasts.
It's
Catechism
really awesome.
In a year. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah. Praise God.
Praise God for Father Mike Schmitz and all the good the Lord's doing through him.
Amen.
So.
The social duty of Christians is to respect and awaken in each man the love of the true and the good. Christians are called to be the light of the world. I'm just like pulling out things that I particularly highlighted. Nobody may be forced to act against his convictions, nor is anyone to be restrained from acting in accordance with his conscience in religious matters, in private or in public, alone or in association with others, within due limits. Like you mentioned, this right is based on the very nature of the human person, whose dignity enables him freely to assent to the divine truth, which transcends the temporal order. And then this talks about the right to religious liberty in paragraph 2108, and I think again in 2109.
Mm-hmm. And to remember, this is based on human dignity, not based on relativism, right? It's not like you can worship God whatever way you want because it doesn't matter, right? That's not why, you know, we don't force Buddhists to be baptized or anything like that. It's not because, well, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter.
Sure.
It's because each person has dignity to choose to and to seek on their own. That means we have to be able to invite, to catechize, to preach the good news so that people will want to.
Mm-hmm.
But so the religious liberty is not based on it doesn't matter. It's based on the dignity of each human person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important thing to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, well said. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So the first commandment summons man to believe in God, to hope in him, and to love him above all else. That's what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. You shall worship the Lord your God, adoring God, praying to him, offering him the worship that belongs to him, fulfilling the promises and vows made to him are acts of the virtue of religion, which fall under obedience to the first commandment. The duty to offer God authentic worship concerns man both as an individual and as a social being. Those were the in brief paragraphs,
right.
2134 through 2136, but summarizing what we talked about there today.
Nice.
Anything else?
No, sorry if I just looked distracted. I was like, I wonder where on the board is the next section here? Because it would be kind of fun to pick up right where we left off.
Oh.
You know?
Which would be 2110. You shall have you shall have no other gods before me.
I can't find it real quick, so we're just gonna have to let this go. Right. Sorry, did you have any other thoughts?
Never, never.
Okay.
Never.
Normally, while you're doing the in brief, I'm crossing.
Oh yeah, we got to cross things off yet. Bad. Okay, no, that was my bad because I didn't tell you I was doing that. Okay, well, I still don't see it. Where is it? Okay, you shall have no other gods. Okay, well, just a reminder, we got to throw two darts. Well, we got to.
Landing. We have to hit two spots.
Yes,
let's do that. Do. Let's call it that.
Let's call it that is right.
Oh, keeping holy the Sabbath.
Okay.
That'll work.
Oh, wait. What are the numbers there?
2168 to 2188.
Okay.
That's a big one, but we're sticking in the Ten Commandments. Maybe I'll just close my eyes and throw it.
That made me nervous.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm sitting next to you and you're throwing a dart and you really are closing your eyes. Sorry, that didn't stick.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to open them a little bit. Nope.
Mm.
Man, the first one was a one-timer. There we go. The Moral Law, 1949 to 1974. Whoo, buddy, that is 25 biggins.
On two podcast recording, we have all of these paragraphs. Okay.
The Lord is so good.
19
more than we could devour.
49 to 1974.
Maybe we'll have leftover paragraphs.
Were those great years? 1949 to 1974.
1974 is the year that the Archbishop was ordained a priest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's nice that you know that.
Well, next year in 2024 is his 50th anniversary of ordination.
All right.
That's the point of reference.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. All right, so we shall return again next week. As I mentioned earlier, well, was there anything else from you, Padre?
Nada.
We mentioned Mary's Magnificat, right? Mm. We can look to the Blessed Mother who is conceived without sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only human being like us to fulfill her covenant demands with the Lord perfectly, right? Because she's conceived without sin. We can look to her as our example of this adoration and the words of her Magnificat, which is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 46. I think I should read the whole thing. 46 through 55.
I think you should read the whole Magnificat.
Okay. Yeah.
I think you should sing it.
Ooh. That'd be fun. But we already had one singer on the show today. We don't want to have two.
Okay. Fair enough.
And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever.